I'm going to invite my friend Valalam up. We are privileged to be part of a bigger body, and Valalam is one of the elders in Amarnas's church. He loves the Lord. He loves people. He loves the house. He's got a beautiful family, and I thought I'd share. My expectation for this morning is that Valalam would come and help us make water into wine. So that I'm just managing expectations here, but it's good. Brother, stand close. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Father, that we can come as your people and just hear your word. We know it is good seed. And so I pray for our hearts to be prepared, for our hearts to receive what you have prepared for us this morning. You are here to meet with us. You have gone before us. You will go behind us. Lord, I pray for my brother that he would speak with boldness and confidence that which you have given him to speak, knowing what he heard and that your heart is for us. So I pray for him and I pray for his family that you would bless them as they sent him to us. Lord, we receive him. And we also pray for a safe return. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thanks. Good morning, everybody. It's fantastic to be here. I think the sun has just broken through, so it's a good sign. Apologies that I couldn't bring my beautiful family. I think there's two pictures of them. That's my daughter, Mecca. She's 9, turning 10 this year. And the klein knopkop on the other hand is James. He's grade 1. And my beautiful wife, Luna, in the middle. Unfortunately, I rostered Luna into the offering message in Hermanus this morning, so I'm flying solo. So she was a little bit upset this morning. She's like, "Hoekom gaan ek hier saam?" Ek is soos, "Ja, ek het nogal nie daaraan gedink nie." But anyway, so I'm here by myself, but I'm not alone. So it's great to be here. I'm just amazed since I walked in through the door this morning, joining the intercession team and also during worship, I just sense there's such a sweet aroma of God's peace in this place this morning. And I actually just want to pray again and just thank him for that. I think, and it will be very clear through my message this morning that, you know, there are so many things that we just take for granted. Whether you started your faith journey with the Lord last week or whether you've been on a faith journey with the Lord for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, sometimes we fall into that trap of becoming, and we heard that this morning, familiar. So I want to pray that we will not neglect and take for granted the Lord's sweet aroma in this place this morning. So let's just close our eyes. Father, we thank you that you are the God of peace. Thank you that you sent your son Jesus so that we can have a relationship with you, so that the gap that was formed by the fallenness of man can be restored and that Jesus can be that bridge in our lives that gives us full access to the Father. And that, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died on the cross for us. And then when you left, you gave us your Holy Spirit to be with us here on earth and to facilitate and to help us and to guide us and to walk with us. And this morning, Holy Spirit, we recognize and we acknowledge that you are in our midst. You are here to meet with each and every one of us. You are here to touch each and every heart. You know exactly where we are. You know those of us that are experiencing such a dry season, but you also know the ones that are going through a spectacular season and all of us in between, Lord. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here to do business with us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, About end of January, Werner asked me to, just put together what the Lord has laid on my heart for this year. So what's to follow is a summary of the things that the Lord has laid on my heart for this year. You can see it as a bit of a prophetic word, so that's why my message is called A Word in Season. But it's kind of difficult because it's an ongoing conversation. So I struggled in the week to put all the thoughts together and make sure that the message flows. So if it does become a little bit disjointed, you know, just bear with me. And I also hope and I've prayed that the things that you might hear this morning is not new to you, but a confirmation of what God has already laid on your heart. irrespective of where you are, your journey, your season, that it will be a confirmation of something that the Lord has already given you instruction on. So I've got this habit. For those of you that didn't understand Craig's joke, I'm a winemaker during the day, and hopefully a loving husband and a funny father by night. But so I've got, I think about 5, 6, 7 years ago, the Lord taught me this thing of, and that's just because of how my year starts, is my year psychologically in my head only starts the 1st of February. So I take the 1st of January when everybody's running around, you know, and trying to do all things and get plans. I just chill. You know, it's like I've got an extended December holiday. And so I spend a lot of time in January just saying no to people. Meeting? No, sorry. Gone. No, I'm still December mode. Because what I find is that often if you don't, if I don't do that, January is just an absolute mess. But that's just in my physical, but in this, in my spiritual journey, January has become so special to me because the Lord just gives me a download, you know, for what's to come in that year. And so Werner, knowing this, asked me to present, you know, to the leaders, to the small group leaders in Hermanus. And it was just, yeah, this is just an outflow of that meeting. I like to take January and spend the whole month in solitude. And I love what the word says in Luke 5, verse 16, because that's what Jesus did. As often as he could, Jesus withdrew and he prayed. And you know what? Often we just, the year just takes us by storm. We rush back from holiday. Kids need to go to school. The boss has already sent you emails. You need to get to the office. And there's no focus. You just fall into the next year. And all the baggage and all the chamors of the previous year, sometimes you just drag into the next year. And then by February or March, you're surprised that you're still stuck in that same place. But I also like, and this is one of a very important word for me in my personal life, is rhythm. I like to take January to fall into God's rhythm for that year. Because if God doesn't determine the rhythm for that year, the world will determine it for you. But we will talk about that a little bit later. Okay. So, Proverbs 15, verse 23 says, "To make an apt answer is a joy to man, and a word in season, how good is it?" There's a translation that says, "A word in season, how sweet is it not?" And it was so beautiful, just this sweet aroma that I sense in this place this morning is just very applicable to that scripture. So, I have 7 things. I think I have listed it there. Can't remember. Yeah, there they are. So, there are 7 things that I want to leave with you. And sometimes, you know, a prophetic word is often very direct and very stern. It's a stern warning, but don't be afraid because it always leads to God and it's always supposed to be uplifting. So if there's something that's a little bit seer and a bikkie eina as hier het hoor vanoggend, it's not me. I'm just, you know, a disclaimer there. It's don't be condemned. Don't feel condemned. Don't feel that, you know, this is something heavy that's just being laid upon you this morning. You know, it's supposed to lift you up. It's supposed to pull you closer to the Lord. So the 7 things I'm going to read from my notes here. The first thing that I'm going to share is you have been called, so you need to know your calling. The second thing is you have a gift, so you need to fan the flame that is inside you. Then the third thing is faith in action. Let's get practical. And there I'm going to focus on boldness. Are you ready to take a stand and stand for the truth? And then the second thing there is thanksgiving, to be ready in your heart. And then simplicity, the simple gospel that we know, and then last of all, freedom. So those are the 7 things, and my mind works like that. I know that everybody says Instagram and social media is evil. I love Instagram. Why? Because Instagram is quotes and slogans and one-liners, and that's how the Lord speaks to me. I think it's such a precious thing when you discover how the Lord speaks to you. Some of you need to climb the mountain and the Lord just downloads. Some of you need to be on your surfboard in the cold water and the Lord just gives you a download. I'm not saying that the Lord downloads Instagram through. I'm just saying I enjoy the one-liners because that's how God speaks to me. So in all the noise, if there's like a bold one-liner in my spirit, I know that it's the Lord speaking. And it's so precious to me because I don't have to doubt that the Lord is speaking to me. So the first thing, you have been called. So first bomb that I want to drop. This is not a year for us to sit around and allow life to pass us by. This is not a year where we can just float through, and then when May or June or July arrives, you're like, yes, hier is alweer. I'm in the same place that I was last year. We've been called by God and created for a purpose such as this. For a purpose that is so much greater than ourselves. And I think when I listen to myself, when I complain, when I moan, when I listen to other people, you know, we've become so selfish. Our focus has become so much upon ourselves that we forget that there's a greater purpose and a greater calling that is far better and far greater than who we are. I want to read Ephesians 4 verse 1. I did put there, sometimes I read from different translations, not the funky ones, but the ones that are ordained by this organization. So Ephesians 4 verse 1, this is from the Amplified, the classic Amplified. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, appeal to you and beg you to walk, that means lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called, with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service. Colossians 3 verse 17 from the New Living Translation reads, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. In that same chapter, a couple of verses on, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and the master you are serving is Christ. I think that's the first thing that we need to, you know, sort of write down for ourselves for this year, as I'm struggling to turn the page here of my 17-page notes. There we go. Is to make the Lord your master. And I know that a lot of you might know a friend of mine, Rickert Botha, that lives just down the road. He always says, is Jesus your boss? And I know that some people are like, yeah, I don't know, that doesn't sit well with me. But the bottom line is that if Jesus is not your master, then something else will be your master. En dan gaan my lewe en jou lewe gemors wees. And I think we will chat about that a little bit later when we talk about faith in action. But the journey that I'm on and what the Lord has laid on my heart is that there are so many things that we hear. Jesus moet jou baas wees. There are certain things that we hear from the pulpit and we read in the Bible, but we actually don't take the next step to activate that. But we will talk about activating your faith a little bit later. So don't allow the world, and we heard the in intercession as well, Esther said that, you know, the noise of the world to direct and to dictate how you're going to live your life. Make sure that your priorities are in order. So for me, I only have 5 priorities. That's a sermon all by itself. Actually, it's actually a 5-day seminar, but I'll give it to you in short. Is God needs to be your number one priority. We all know that. Yet, we all fail to do that on a daily basis. But we'll hopefully have some practical tools how to amend that. Then your spouse is number 2, your kids number 3, your work number 4, friends and family number 5. If you can get that right, life is going to be much easier. Now, it's not going to be simple, but it's going to be much easier. And as soon as those priorities change, things shift and things become very blurry. But you'll have to sign up for the 5-day seminar to hear the rest of that. So make sure that God is your number one priority. If he's not number one priority in our lives, we have zero chance of knowing what we need to do, hearing his voice, and actually living with joy. And I love the word that came out in intercession, and Craig said it as well, is that, you know, often we expect that life should just be a breeze, you know, when we're walking with Jesus. That was never a promise. That was never said. But there are more than enough tools, there's more than enough knowledge and wisdom for us to make today, today, and then not to worry about tomorrow, but we'll get to that. And so if God is not your number one priority, the world will suck you in, it'll chew you, and it'll spit you out. And then tomorrow it will just do it all over again. So like I said, is Jesus your boss? Matthew 17 verse 5, the Father says, this is my Son whom I love and with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. So the question is, do you know Jesus? And if you do know Jesus, do you listen to what he says? My second point, fan the flame. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 from the Amplified Classic reads as follows. That is why I would remind you to stir up. That means rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by the means of the laying on of my hands with those of the elders at your ordination. Romans 12 verse 11 and 12 from the same translation reads, never lag in zeal and in endeavor. Be aglow and burning in the spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice and exult in hope. Be steadfast and patient in suffering and tribulation. Be constant in prayer. The question that I ask myself regularly is if I'm still excited about the precious gift of salvation in my life. Hendrik preached about this a couple of weeks ago in Hermanus. We understand what he has done on the cross for us. We even worship him for it. But does our lives reflect that truth? And do we apply it? And that's my challenge to myself. And I ask myself this question regularly is, what does the cross of Jesus Christ mean to me? I can write down a Sunday school antwoordie in my diary every day, and it might look different. But when I walk through the door and I drop my kids at school and I go to work and I interact with people, what does that practically mean to me? The cross of Jesus Christ. What does it practically mean to me? And where are we now? 25 days into February, so that's somewhere in the 50s. 50 days into this year, I'm still churning that over in my heart, over and over and over. What does the cross of Jesus Christ mean to me today? And am I growing in it? And am I living that? And am I fanning the flame? Because, like I said, lately I've just been consumed and overwhelmed by this thought, the cross of Jesus Christ in my life. And if I'm honest, does my life reflect it? Sometimes. Is sometimes good enough? For me, it's not. For me, sometimes it's not good enough. It's got to be always. So what am I doing? How am I trusting the Holy Spirit to show me what that looks like? So that I can understand what it means that he died for me. That's how much he loved me. And that I will allow the Holy Spirit to every day blow my mind about this precious gift. Because we become so familiar hearing the cross of Jesus Christ. You know what? I actually want to go and stand in the mirror and just... Well, I don't want to look at myself in the mirror the whole time, but just over and over, meditate the cross of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, show me, what does this mean? What does this mean today? You know, passionate Christianity should be a norm. It should not be an exception. I read recently, I must say, again, I'm not addicted to my phone. My wife might disagree, but I just love the tools, and I'll talk about connecting the micro moments, but I love the fact that I can drive and stop at, Dion and I, we were chatting before, and stop at this at the beach en route, dropping the kids at school, going to work, stop there, have 5 or 10 moments, you know, open the Bible on your phone or open an app or whatever your reading plan, and the Holy Spirit just drops something in your heart. And so I was reading in one of these plans that I was following, the guy was talking about the flat Coke experience, you know. We're living in a coastal town, so a lot of you do look like surfers. That's just a joke. No judgment. But, you know, I shared a flat at university with a surfer, and I remember our kitchen was littered with empty Coke cans and Coke bottles. I mean, it's a surfer thing, Coke. You get out of the water to get that saltiness out of your mouth, you drink Coke. Am I right? If you're a surfer, just say amen. Anybody? Anyway, so the analogy is that, you know, if you get out of the water and you want to wash that saltiness out of your mouth and you open the can and the can is flat, you know, it's the bubbles and it's that expression of, you know, the flavors just bursting out of the can that releases and just takes that taste out of your mouth. But if the Coke is flat, it's not going to have that effect. But yet, you know, a lot of us, our Christianity and our walk with the Lord is like a flat Coke. I mean, I think the only thing a flat Coke is good for is an upset stomach, but I haven't had that since I was a very, very small. But so what I'm trying to say is that for myself, I don't want to settle for a dull, mundane, boring relationship with the Lord. Yet we find ourselves there often. And I wrote here, if your relationship with Jesus has become boring and mundane, then maybe you don't know the real Jesus. Then maybe I am serving a knockoff Jesus. Or maybe there's something in my life that has distorted my understanding of who Jesus is. Why do I say that? Because I've allowed sin to enter my life, or I've become disobedient, or the cares of the world entangle me on a day-to-day basis. That's not why Jesus died for us on the cross, so that we can be entangled and live in sin and in disobedience. Yet I find myself there regularly. So I challenge myself and I say, well, am I fanning the flame of this gift of salvation that the Lord has given me? And I just want to say, when I was preparing, just on the thing of obedience and disobedience, I believe this is a word for somebody, that God can only take you as far as your last step of obedience. So if it's something that He's instructed you to do, and you haven't done it, you can't move forward, because you still need to be obedient to that specific thing. The next scripture that I want to read, one of my favorite scriptures, Hebrews 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything, everything, not some of the things, everything. Your DHL trokkie, los om by die deur. Ons het dit gehoor vanoggend. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. Meditate on him. Sit at the beach, climb the mountain, meditate on who he is. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. So if you are feeling miserable and it feels like the year has already had 27 months, you're in a good place this morning. I will also often reflect, what is the attitude that I come to church with? Is it a very selfish, is it a very self-serving attitude? Or am I still excited about the saved or the lost being saved, or somebody being delivered, or somebody receiving healing? Or have I become so familiar with the workings of the church that if I don't feel that something's moved in my heart, then I don't get excited about the people around me. When we praise and worship, do we still get excited? Am I tuned in? Am I in focus with what the Lord wants to do? Or is my mind somewhere else? I know my wife always gets very upset when, people are, very non-charismatic in a charismatic church. But there's something to be said about that. I remember having a conversation with a gentleman a couple of years ago in the church in Hermanus. He said, I don't understand why we have to sing the chorus over and over and over. Is once, maybe twice not enough? Yes, and I thought to myself, that's a dangerous place to be. Because then you obviously don't understand who we're singing to and why we're singing. But yet, we still sometimes find ourselves there. So we have to guard the fire of devotion that the Lord has placed in our hearts. We have to be active to guard the fire in our hearts. We must refuse to accept that faith and that your faith experience is below par. Don't allow life just to happen. Again, my second most important source, not the Bible, but Instagram. No, I'm joking. I saw a video yesterday or the day before, and the guy was saying that imagine you are lying on your deathbed and, you are about to breathe your last. Some of you might have seen it. You're on your deathbed and, you reflect on your life. What I like about Instagram, it's very dramatic, and I'm a very sensitive guy. So I like the pictures and I like the music, so I get drawn in, but no, that's just me. So the guy's explaining the scenario. You're on your deathbed and you're reflecting on your life and the things and the opportunities that you've had and the conversations that you've had and the people that you miss and the people that you're never going to see again, and you're not going to see the sunrise ever again. And then in a moment, you rewind to a place where you are 50 years from your deathbed. And you're in that place where you are today, knowing that, experiencing that finality. If you had that mindset today, how different will you live your life in the next 50 years for some of us, 5 years for some of us? And I ask myself that question regularly is, what am I doing with the gift that God has given me so that I don't miss the opportunities, so that I don't lie on my deathbed one day knowing that I'm not going to see the sunrise again and regretting all the opportunities that the Lord laid in front of me and I just missed? And so one of the most important things for me that I try to get right, and I don't get it right, but I work very hard at it, is to live a life with intention, live intentionally. So I get home often and then James wants to play rugby or cricket or throw the ball around. Yes, and don't say, "Moch, man," a long day at work, and you just want to sit on the, you want to sit on the stoop and just chill for a while. But the Holy Spirit, and that's just me, it might be different for you, but the Holy Spirit has just challenged me to react in that moment and to connect with Him. And it is so funny, since I've started doing that, is that tiredness just vanishes in a blink of an eye. I get so energized seeing Him running around, you know, and then Mika comes and then she also wants to catch the ball. You know, just a simple thing where I decided to change the way I think about it and to be intentional in that moment with my children. I mean, Mika reminds me regularly. I don't know whether she's counting down the days or the years, but she told me yesterday, she's now nine, she says, "Papa, nog net 9 jaar, ne? Nog net 9 jaar." Because she knows at 18 she can do whatever she wants. So So I try to be intentional with my kids. But there's such a beautiful principle in that, is how intentional are you with the Lord? The time that you spend with Him. When you do spend time with Him, what does that look like? Are you just passing time? Are you just rushing through? And I'll give you some practical things how to do quiet time, because, you know, sometimes we feel so guilty that you don't get to your quiet time. But maybe the way your quiet time, the way you see it, is not the way God wants you to have quiet time. But I'll touch on that a little bit later. And then before I move to the next point, is to have an expectation that God will blow your mind this year. Have an expectation in your heart. There must be an expectation in your heart that God is going to do something spectacular. How will you recognize it if there's no expectation? If you're just cruising through, you will miss it. I've got to go quicker. Faith in action is the third point. To take a stand for the truth and to be bold. I'm going to drop another bomb here. Please stop praying for the Lord to give you more faith. Please stop asking and praying for the Lord to give you more faith. Does that offend you? Does that upset you? Let me read a scripture. Luke 17, verse 5 and 6. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you." The Message translation, which we are not allowed to read, but says the following. Jesus replied, "You don't need more faith." That's what Jesus said to his disciples. You don't need more faith. What do we need to do is we need to step out in faith. We need to allow our faith to become real. I've said it 1,000 times this morning already. What does the cross mean? What does your salvation mean to you? Can you write it down in words? Does it have an impact on your life on a daily basis? James 1, chapter 1, 22 to 24, and we heard that again this morning. Do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what it looks like. James 2, verse 21, 22. Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? you see that this, that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. This is my mission for myself, and I want to share it with you this year, is that my knowledge of the word and who Jesus is will become revelation and wisdom, so that my faith is not just something in my head, but that it is something that happens when I walk through the door. If you go back to the scripture and you go back to the story of Isaac, or of Abraham and Isaac, think about this for a moment. If Abraham, in that blink, when the Lord said, wait, don't sacrifice Isaac, there's the ram. If he stopped listening, he would have sacrificed Isaac. You ever thought about that? If Abraham, for a split second, stopped listening, because that's what we often do, is the Lord gives us instructions, and then we move. And then the Lord says, okay, but wait for that. And it's like, no, 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 don't worry, I've got this. And you're on your way, and you sacrifice Isaac. How many Isaacs have you and I sacrificed in our lives? How many? A lot. Because we stop listening. So, my question to myself is, how does my faith become a reality to me? Through obedience. To start praying for an obedient and a sensitive heart. You know, that's why I say, and I love that challenge to myself, is that I don't need more faith. I need more sensitivity. I need more obedience. And then the next thing is, I need more boldness. You know, to speak and to act when the Lord says, stop, then stop. Go left, go right. Send that word to that brother. Nee, yes, hy gaan my kop induik as ek vir hom dit sê. Sê dit vir hom. Hy moet dit hoor. And I love that, is that that's another thing that the Lord has challenged me on this year, is my reaction time. So in all households, and when only your man of your vrou jab in die ribbes nie, but you know, in all households, there's one that can sulk and can do still stiper for 3 days. And then there's one that wants, that stabs you in the back with the one hand, and then with the other hand is like, okay, maar kom ons praat gou daaroor. It's just like, no, it doesn't work like it. I'm still removing the knife that you just stuck in my shoulders. Does anybody relate to that? But you know, it's what I'm trying to do is, when the Lord instructs me to do something, not to go and have a 7-day conference about whether I think it's a good idea, but to have implicit obedience. You know, to improve my reaction time to respond to a negative situation. You know, like I said, my wife and I, we fight very differently. And the ability to brush things off in the moment. You know, the Holy Spirit is there to empower you to do that. I had a situation at work recently where I shared some very good news with somebody, and then the response was just so negative. And you know what happens is, immediately the devil pulls you into a rabbit hole, and your mind starts wondering, oh, but maybe they're going to fire me. Oh, maybe they don't think I'm as good as I am. Whatever the situation might be, your mind starts to run. And you know, in that moment, you need to trust the Holy Spirit to be bold and to brush it off and to say, no, that is a lie. I recognize that lie, and I'm not going to allow myself to go into that mind space. Again, under implicit obedience, I mentioned micro moments. To be sensitive, you know, and connecting the small dots in your life. You know, on a daily basis, you have so many different opportunities. But sometimes, especially somebody like myself, I'm so structured in my thinking, my planning. Everything's got to be, I mean, even driving here, having to go print the papers, it's my mind goes, okay, I need 5 minutes, and then, okay, 10 minutes, okay, maybe this will happen. So that my mind just works like that. So I'm very susceptible to the devil to just take me out. But you know what? I've allowed the Lord to transform that so that his creativity in my life can just shine through in the micro moments. What do I mean by that? Is if you don't have a busy schedule, we all do, but let's say you have to drop the kids at school, you've got to get to work, you have certain responsibilities, and some days you're like, yes, okay, I'm just going to snooze 5 times, and you don't get to spend your hour with the Lord that you want to. I want to say this morning, God can be creative in your life and connect the micro moments. What I've done recently, I still spend that hour, but I also allow the Lord, instead of just doing nothing or standing, is to take that 5 minutes and open something or have something, I've got a satchel, so there's always a Bible or a book or something, to read 2 pages, to read 3 pages, to pray in the Spirit, and to connect the 5 minutes, the 5 minutes, the 5 minutes, the 5 minutes. You'll be amazed at the end of the day if you calculate all those 5 minutes, how much time you've actually spent in God's presence. And then fasting. Yo, I'm not good at that, but the Lord challenged me immensely on that. And I just think that, you know, it's something for us as an organization and a body that, you know, this is something that we have to press in. You know, it doesn't get spoken about very often. And, you know, when a weekly fast or a global fast gets called, you know, people scatter. Ever wonder why certain patterns in your life don't want to break? Because the Bible says in Mark 9:29, it says, this kind can only be driven out by prayer and fasting. And so there's a word again in my heart for somebody here that the Lord has challenged you to do a 21-day fast. If you're out there, I don't know what you look like, but I believe it's a word for somebody that the Lord has asked you to do a 21-day fast. I want to encourage you to do it. But why fast? To quit the noise and to practice solitude. You know, again, if you want to break the pattern of being sucked into the world and the noise around you, you have to spend time in solitude. Jesus was the perfect example of that. What I love is also, especially this time of the year, between December and January, is just to hit the reset button. I started praying that about 4 or 5 years ago, regularly, to break that pattern of familiarity in my life, that I don't get familiar with scriptures and familiar with worship songs, is I pray that the Lord will hit the reset button. So I often read a scripture and I'm like, hey, I'm supposed to know this, but it looks brand new. And how that fuels my excitement in my journey with the Lord. It takes courage to step out in faith. The woman with the issue of bleeding in Mark chapter 5, she activated her faith by stepping out, pushing through the crowd, and touching the hem of his garment. And she was instantly healed, and Jesus said, daughter, your faith has healed you. And I think we often, we know that Jesus will heal us, but we don't cross into action. It's something that we know, it's something that we believe, but faith is not just believing. Faith is not just knowing. We've got to activate it, like the woman. Galatians 5 verse 16, but I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit. Respond to and be controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not be gratified by the cravings and the desires of the flesh, of the human nature without God. The last thing that I want to say on this is, you know, we've got to remove the lies that are in our lives. That's the only way the devil tricks you. You know, if you think about situations at work or lies about, you know, that the devil sows into your life, the only way to counter that is to replace it with truth. And the only place that you can get the truth is the Word of God. And so it's something that you have to actively do. You can't just allow the lies to wash over you and think by hoping that it's going to go away, it's going to go away. You have to step out and activate your faith and let it move on and replace it with God's truth. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24 reads as follows. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offense of way in me, and lead me on the way everlasting. I think anxiety is something that we see around us every day. And, you know, you've got to train your heart and mind. You have to be disciplined. And I come back to what I said about priorities. If you have anxiety, anxiety is the first sign that your priorities is not straight. So if you're struggling with anxiety, it's a clear sign that God is not number one in my life and in your life. One of the big things, and also one of the journeys that I'm on, is, you know, understanding and growing in the fear of the Lord versus the fear of man. You know, if you have scenarios running through your mind at night, struggling to sleep, causing you to struggle with things and that upsets you so that you cannot sleep, you know, then the fear of man has got you where you don't want to be. And the only way to navigate from that is, again, to step out in faith and to trust the Lord to activate that in your life. I love what Romans 12 verse 2 says, is do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. I think we often neglect just the ability to surrender to the Holy Spirit, to come and refresh and renew the way we think about things and the way we see things around us. We often get sucked into the deceptions of this world and the noise, and we get trapped into all sorts of false teachings, false grace, false love. Our focus is not on Jesus, and the Jesus that we start to follow is not the Jesus of the Bible. It's a Jesus that we create in our heads. It's the Jesus that we create in our minds. And what I've realized for myself, and that brings me to my next point, is Thanksgiving. Is for me the best way to reset every day is when I wake up, is to start with a heart filled with thanksgiving. To thank the Lord for my salvation. To thank the Lord for His death and resurrection. To thank Him for everything that I have, instead of worrying about the meeting at 9 o'clock. Did I pack all the things that the kids need? Is my mom going to be okay? What about this person's message last night? You know, we often allow those things to dictate the direction of your day. And I've just learned for myself is that when I start with a heart filled with thanksgiving, it's so much easier. The day can still be hard, but it's so much easier to keep the direction and the focus of this day. And then, like I said, practically is you know, let your first thoughts and your words be thanksgiving. When you swing out of bed, utter words of thanksgiving. Don't grab your phone. Don't try and see who sent you a WhatsApp during the night. Don't allow the heavy negative thoughts and the anxious thoughts to grab you and to direct your day. I've got another short testimony. I was managing a project for about 18 months. It wasn't my main responsibility, but it was something that I sort of pulled closer because it's something that really interested me. And about a month and a half ago, somebody came and hijacked the project, you know, with so much fervor and passion that I wasn't even in the mood to fight with them. So I just allowed them to hijack the project. And it really hurt. It really, yeah, I felt insecure. I felt unsafe. And I was wrestling with the Lord. And in that instant, the Lord said, just send that person an email thanking them for taking it off your hands. I'm like, say what? And the Lord responded and said, yes, send an email and tell them, thank you for taking that off your hands because now you don't have to worry about it anymore. And I sent that email, and the freedom that I've experienced since in the last 3-4 weeks has been incredible. Does it sting when the emails come and the questions come? Of course it does. But it literally feels like the baggage, you know, that weight off my shoulders is just gone, or the weight on my shoulders is just gone. And so it's a little practical thing of just having that attitude of thanksgiving and listening to when the Lord speaks, to in that moment respond, and you will immediately be set free, like in my situation. Pastor Andre's, the next point, simplicity, the simple gospel. I want to skip over this for time constraints, but I think we all have PhDs in complicating matters, and we don't need to make things complicated. Like I said, anxiety is a clear indicator that our priorities aren't straight. And so the simple thing is this: is that if Jesus is number one in everything that we do, if Jesus is the focus of everything we do, and we remain disciplined in that, then life will look very, very different. So I want to challenge myself, and I want to challenge you as well, is that, You know, we often get sucked into conversation. Sometimes it's a personality thing. Sometimes it's a decision that we make. But we really need to work hard at this, is to try and simplify the things around us, especially when it comes to our walk with the Lord, and to focus on Him, and every day to live one day at a time. And that's what I want to end off with, is to live one day at a time. You know, Matthew 6, I love how Matthew 6 just talks. It's almost like we are children, and the simplicity of that message is, you know, combining freedom, which is my last topic, you know, and simplicity. To be a warrior with an A, not a warrior with an O. And to live one day at a time. We heard it this morning. Travel light. Live today well. Don't worry about tomorrow. There's a time and a place for planning and being strategic. But when you walk out the front door of your house in the morning, is you've got to be ready. The Bible says, my mercies are new every morning. He's given you everything that you need for this day. Tomorrow, you'll get a fresh start. But so often, we want to still run tomorrow with what we received last week. And we need to learn to receive what we need to receive today and to live today well. Don't allow the noise and the lies and the confusion. The Lord wants you to live in freedom, free from addiction, free from insecurities. I've got another bomb before we finish. And to deal with the sin in our lives. You know what? We've become so good at calling sin problems or issues. We don't call it sin anymore. We call it issues. Oh, he's got an issue with pornography. No, it's not an issue. It's a sin. Oh, she has an eating disorder. She struggles. It's a sin. And so the list goes on. And the Lord in this year doesn't want us to tolerate the sins in our lives. Don't tolerate the sin that Jesus died for. That's my bomb. Don't tolerate the sin that Jesus died for. Because if that's your mindset, if that's my mindset, and I think I can get away with it, that I'm not serving the real Jesus. And when I was meditating on this, it really hit me so hard for a second time, is I want to make sure that I'm serving the right Jesus. But if I've got if I've got sin in my life that I tolerate, then which Jesus am I serving? The one that I've created in my mind that thinks that it's okay? No, that's not the Jesus in the Bible. That's not the real Jesus. If we think we can continue to sin and that there will be no consequences, our God image and who He is warped. And then we lack the fear, the reverence, and the awe of God. But that's another five-day seminar. So you and I, we need to come to that place of true repentance and laying down the things that ensnares us. It might be your family. It might be bad relationships, toxic relationships. Might be work, idols in your life. And we need to learn to be content and to live in a space where we know that whatever God has given us for that day is enough for that day. My prayer for myself is that my heart will be set free from strife and from envy, and that my heart will be living freely from competition and from comparison to the people around me. And so for me in this year, those are the things that I hold before us and that I hold before myself, is that I will know that I am called and that there's a purpose for me in this year and the things and the sphere of influence and the place where I operate. And that there's a gift inside of me that I need to fan the flame. I need to step out in faith. I need to activate my faith with boldness and with thanksgiving. I need to live simply. Make God my number one focus. One day at a time. Live today well. You know what? If you live today well, you can do it all over again tomorrow. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. Just live today well. And when I say that, I know myself is like, that is such a great one-liner. I can put that on my door, or I can write it down somewhere. But what does it practically mean? And I challenge myself in this year is, when I hear things and when I'm stirred in the Spirit, how am I going to make it practical for myself? Because that's real faith. Don't sacrifice another Isaac. You know, that for me, every time I say it, every time I hear it, I become emotional because I know in my own life how many Isaacs. There's a whole graveyard full of Isaacs in my life. And God does not want that for us. And that there is a freedom here this morning. If there's anything that God has stirred in your heart before I give over to Craig, there's a freedom that the Lord is so deeply yearning for you and me to experience. That is why he died on the cross for you and me. Don't tolerate the sin any longer. Don't, you and I, we should not tolerate the sin any longer. And then I want to smile and say, this is your year. I believe that when we start to action these things in our life in this year, we will see great change. But it's up to you and me whether I'm going to step out in faith, whether I'm going to activate my faith, and whether I'm going to allow the Lord to do in my life and in your life what he wants to do in this year. Amen. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you that it is such a privilege to just be in your house and be amongst family. I thank you, Lord, that you desire for all men and women to be free, Lord, because that's why you died for us. And I pray, Lord, that whatever we heard this morning, whatever has stirred in our hearts this morning, Lord, that we will have the courage and the boldness, like the woman that touched your garment, Lord, that we will push through the crowd, Lord, that we will push through the issues in our lives, that we will push through the things that we have come to believe is part of who we are. But it's not, Lord. It's just lies that have formed us, but it's not who we are. Because this morning you call us and you say, my son, my daughter, come forward. Let me touch you. Let me heal you. Let me restore you. And I thank you, Lord, that as we muster together all our courage, Lord, and all the last strength that we might have, Lord, to just touch you this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you are standing with open hands, ready, Lord, to receive us. In the precious name of Jesus.
Sure. Thank you, brother. I'm just really encouraged. You know, when you hear a prophetic word, the surest sign should be you are excited to go from this place and draw near to God. And I'm so encouraged to just from this place this week, just to check these things in my life, just to draw near again, to come back to who he is, what he is saying, what he's calling us to. Like, this is a massive invitation to us to check yourself. And what we're going to do is, I believe the Lord just spoke to me. He said, we're going to invite Valhalla back sometime this year. We're going to do a little stock take. Yeah, that's good, because this is a word for the year for us. It's part of that. So I want, if we can just leave that up there, if you can turn to one another. The Holy Spirit has spoken something to you here. And let's turn to one another. Let's just take a moment. Let's not let the moment pass. Let's be intentional right now. And say, Lord, that's where I need you, Holy Spirit. Will you come? Make my story this year that truth. Can we do that? Well, just, you can turn to one another.